We come together to read God's word, and we are in the midst of a series on cultivating happiness and what does that look like for us. And so the past couple weeks, we've been thinking about not just our external things that happen to us, like the kind of car we drive or how much money we make or who we might be married to or our kids' success, but really what is it that helps us to have a feeling, a spirit of happiness or of being content. And so we've looked at the whole idea of the trials that we experience and how instead of focusing on the suffering that happens, we can grow through those times. And also last week, Pastor Dan talked about the importance of living in the present moment of today and not worrying about the things from the past or having too much anxiety about the things that are coming in the future. So today we're going to talk about what it means to cultivate optimism, and we're going to turn to the New Testament and read from Paul's letter from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In my way, my beloved, I urge Euodia, and I urge Sitink to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, you've created this day, a beautiful day for us to come and to worship together, to reflect on all of the ways that you have blessed us, to be thankful for this nation whose birthday we celebrate this weekend, for those who have sacrificed their lives so that we could indeed worship you in freedom. We thank you, God, for your word that is the foundation for all that we say and all that we do. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul, who despite the suffering and the persecution, calls us to rejoice. And so help us, God, in this brief time that we have to study your word, to open up our lives that can make a difference because you love us and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I should have mentioned that the book that we're using for this series is called Searching for Happiness by Martin Thielen, and he himself, a pastor who served in the church for many years and had experiences with people who continuously would come to him and say, I just want to be happy. And that is what spurred him on to want to write this book and to help us all to think about what is important in our lives to prioritize. So when we think about cultivating optimism, I'm struck by a story of a little boy. He loved baseball, as we Americans do, right? We celebrate that national pastime. And he was determined to prove that he was the best batter in the world. And so he threw up the ball and he swung the bat and he missed. And he said, "I know I am the greatest batter in the world." And so he threw up that ball and he swung and he missed. Strike two, right? And he said, "I know that I am the greatest batter in the world." And so he threw up the ball a third time. He swung and he missed. And he picked up the ball and he put down the bat and he said, "I know I am the greatest pitcher in the world." That kind of optimism, that kind of persistence, that even when we fail, even when we go through a difficult time, that God picks us up and says, "You can do it. Try again. Reframe what you're doing. But don't ever lose hope in God's love and God's purpose for you." The Apostle Paul, as I noted just a few weeks ago, was someone who suffered greatly, imprisoned because of his deep faith and his commitment to build the church. Even in the midst of that great persecution, imprisoned, he's writing to those who have started the early church. And guess what? There's tension. There's trouble. The leadership of the church isn't agreeing. We've never heard of that before, right? And so Paul is urging them, calling them out by name, two names probably not on the most popular list in America today for new babies, Euodia and Syntyche. Now, what's interesting about these women's names is that Euodia in Greek literally means "have a good day." Have a good day. How could you have a more pleasant sounding name? Euodia. Have a good day. Every time you call her, you're going to have a great day. And Syntyche literally means a successful journey. A successful journey. These names, indicative of what Paul knew was possible for them, if they could join together in a spirit of joy, rejoicing. There's tension in the church. There's tension in Paul's life. And instead of ignoring it, just saying it's not really existing, Paul calls them out and encourages them over and over again that their life, that church, it can be more than just in survival mode, but can thrive. And how do they do that? How do they come to that point? He encourages them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't think about how horrible the other person is, how divided you are, how your opinions are so far apart. But instead, think about how God has brought you into a place, a purpose of reconciliation, given us the risen Christ as a model of what it means to live a life of optimism. We love the Apostle Paul because he doesn't back away from conflict or tension, but rather sees it as an opportunity in which they can cultivate a sense of unity and coming together. It's hard for us in a world in which we know there's a lot of disagreement, a lot of anger, a lot of division. And we're given this option each and every day with the words that we speak. And Thielen says that the best way for us to be able to push through those times of deep tension and suffering is to know that it's an act of discipline. It takes work. It takes effort to cultivate optimism. And it's not just this positivity and this kind of shallowness, put on a smile and say, oh, it's all great. But rather, it's looking deeper at the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. And having that discipline when times do get tough, to continue to look ahead. I risk the chance today of offending someone as I'm going to talk about a politician, but I'm hoping that since it's America's birthday, we can obviously put those divisions aside. But in Thielen's book, he talks about the story of Bob Dole's life. Bob Dole, as you might recall, suffered greatly in World War II. He was injured just a few days before the end of the war in Italy, and he spent the next 3 years recovering from his injuries, not able to walk, not able to use his arm. And obviously, it was a time of great disappointment, wondering what did his future hold for him. He met his doctor in Chicago, an orthopedic doctor who was actually Armenian, who had survived the Armenian Holocaust, someone who knew about suffering and what happens to you when all of the odds seem to be against you. And so he encouraged him to keep fighting. And he said these words to Dole. He said, rather than complaining about what had been lost and what he had left behind, think about what he had. Think about what he had. A God who loved him. A family that was supporting him and praying for him. A country that thanked him for his service. And Dole writes in his autobiography that that doctor made an impact on his life that no one else had. Because in the midst of his despair, he encouraged him to keep fighting. And we know that Dole went on to have a career in politics. Didn't always win, right? But he knew that he was loved. It took discipline. It took inspiration from a God who cared about him to keep going. And the second part that we need as we cultivate optimism is to have a deep and abiding faith. A faith that doesn't give up when things don't go our way. There must not be a God. I'm not where I should be in my career. I'm experiencing horrible physical pain. My family isn't what I thought they could be or should be. And so many throw in the theological towel and say, this God isn't so great after all. That doesn't prove to be true. Remember, when we are knocked down, it's God that pulls us back up again. One of my habits when I go on vacation is to buy the People magazine that's there on the counter, you know, when you're getting your gum for the trip. My husband doesn't really love this habit, but it's about the only time that I open up the People magazine and see what's happening in the world. And so as I was reading through, as we were returning from our vacation, there was an interesting article in People about 100 reasons to love America. 100 reasons to love America. And number 89 on the list of reasons to love America is the story of Scott Hamilton. If you were alive in 1984, you might remember that he won the gold medal for figure skating, 5'2", very petite, very successful. And since that great time of success, Hamilton has fought cancer 3 times, 1997, 2010, and then again in the fall of 2016, when his brain tumor came back. And he writes that the first thing his wife did, Tracy, when the doctor said this cancer had returned, was she grabbed his hands and she prayed with him. God, you have brought us through the valley again and again, and we know you will. Continue, oh God, to give us the strength that we need. Hamilton changed his diet, his exercise, faithfully prayed to God, and the tumor was gone. Now, I know that doesn't happen to everyone. But it's the realization to us that in the midst of someone so successful that he could turn to God again and again, all of us, each and every day, have our struggles, huge struggles, maybe petite struggles. And Paul says, come back. Believe. Think about those things in your life that you know are true. There's a parable about a priest as we conclude this sermon today. The priest was in France and he was observing a cathedral that was being built, and he was so curious about how it was being done. And so he went and he interviewed the stone cutters. And he went to the first stone cutter and he asked him what he was doing. And he said, in a kind of bitter response, I'm cutting blocks 1 foot by 1 foot by 3/4 of a foot. It's a miserable life. And I'll have to do it until the day I die. The priest had a sense of deep sadness for this man and his lack of optimism. So he went on to the second stone cutter and he said to him, what are you doing? And the stone cutter responded to him in a warmer tone. And he said, I'm cutting blocks 1 foot by 1 foot by 3/4 of a foot. My life, it's a respectable life, and because of this job, I can care for my family. You know, my wife and I, we have a home full of love. Each day I come back and I cut more stones. And then lastly, the priest met the third stone cutter. And the priest said, what are you doing? And the stone cutter said, I'm cutting blocks 1 foot by 1 foot by 3/4 of a foot, and I'm helping to build a great cathedral to the glory of God. A cathedral that will stand most likely for over 1,000 years. And it will be an inspiration to all who see it. And I had a slight part of bringing this glory to God. 3 men doing the same thing each and every day with such a different spirit. We too, we might have some monotony in our life, some struggles, some burdens, some anger. So hear Paul's words to us, to think about these things that are true. Think about a Christ who's not on the cross anymore, who's risen from the dead because he loves you. He loves you. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for loving us. Even in the midst of our troubles, our disappointments, the aches and the pain, you love us and you call us to rejoice. Rejoice in you always. Amen and amen.